Okay, you know I'm going to love the next few episodes because I wrote a book on the topic, and we're about to apply 1 Corinthians 7, topics on singleness and marriage. My name is Alina Abujamra, and we are in Morning Minutes studying 1 Corinthians. Listen up, applying biblical wisdom to everyday life. Today's episode 23 is from 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. I hope you're ready for a great day. I titled this episode, What Does God Say About Singleness and Marriage? Let me read you the verses. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What does God say about singleness and marriage? So we're going to get into this the next few days. I think we've got at least, 4 or 5 days in the topic of singleness and marriage. I wrote a book called Thrive, The Single Life as God Intended. If you want more resources on singleness, certainly look there. But this book, this chapter is about life and sexuality and relations. And so here's what you need to know. Number one, one of the ways to escape sexual temptation is through marriage. All right? You have to be a genius to get to that conclusion. You're burning, you want to have sex, you're seeing someone, and he, again, puts the context here, a man and his wife. He's like, if it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, well, okay, how do I honor that? God has created me to be a sexual being. Sex is a good thing. God created Adam and Eve and told them to go have sex and multiply. It was his command to them, first command, to till the garden and have sex. And we messed it up, humans. And so Paul advocates here for marriage as a means to escape temptation. Look, not the only reason to get married, but a good reason to get married. And if you're single and you're dating and you're like, man, yeah, I'm burning, I can't, you know, stay pure. That doesn't mean you go and get married this afternoon, but start working towards that and figure out, is this a person that you're going to be compatible with? And if not, you shouldn't be dating him anyway. And you should, one way to avoid then your temptational areas is to break up this relationship right now. So again, this is logical. Sometimes we try to make the Christian faith so esoteric, but this is very practical. So though God has a lot to say about sexual sin, he also gives us a lot of ways to avoid it. And though God has placed boundaries over sexual activity, he has also given lots of freedom in sex within the context of marriage. I think we forget that. We're always thinking about the don'ts, and we forget that God is the one who created sex. And while not every, you know, I think one of the errors of the purity culture, I talked a little bit about that a couple of days ago. Right now, there's a lot of critique of the Christian teaching the past 20 years of how to stay pure until marriage, and sort of this promise that if you do, that if you don't, you know, masturbate and you don't sleep with anybody and then you get married, you're going to have a great sex life. And that's just simply not true. I read this. I thought this was really interesting. That is sexual prosperity theology. You think about prosperity theology that says if you obey God, he'll give you what you want. Well, there's a sexual prosperity theology, which says if you obey God in the area of purity, he'll give you a great sex life when you get married. And I don't think that's anywhere biblical. Nowhere does God promise that. There are ways to grow in your sexual relationship with your spouse. In fact, God even talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 of certain seasons where you might not be active and others where you're not your own. And marriage is a covenant between man and woman. We're not going to get into too much of that right now. But one of the ways to escape sexual temptation is through marriage. Number two, one of the struggles in marriage is over sexual activity. Isn't that interesting? I'm single, and many single people think, man, all my problems will be resolved the minute I get married, or at least all my sexual problems. And it's interesting that so many verses in this section are talking about sort of how marriage has to handle sex and when to say yes or when to say no and how it works. And I think this is important for single people to recognize and for married people to understand that the problem of sex does not resolve just because you get married. But in the context of marriage, God has ordained sexual intimacy to be a fruit of a good marriage and a work in progress sometimes. Again, I think that's another topic, but let's just stay focused here. So it's not uncommon in marriage to use sex as a tool to manipulate, and that's sin. Don't use sex to manipulate your spouse. That's what Paul's saying here. You can go back and read the text. It is not uncommon in marriage to forget that there is an authority structure. God is the head of the household, and God has given a way of dealing between husband and wives. And then it is not uncommon in marriage to become, this is an interesting other side of the coin, it is not uncommon in marriage to become too distracted to pray. You know, I think, you know, it's funny because here he talks about how do not deprive one another except by agreement, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. I've yet to meet a lot of couples that say, well, we're not right now engaging. I mean, I'm sure people don't go around telling us that, but I don't think that happens as much as you think, because I really think there's a struggle to pray as a couple. And so if there is, if you are going to, you know, abstain from sexual intercourse in marriage, prayer is certainly the reason that God gives us to do that for a season, not forever, for a season, and in agreement between husband and wife. So one of the ways to escape sexual temptation is through marriage. One of the struggles in marriage is over sexual activity. Number three, one of the pitfalls in the Christian life is in the area of self-control, all right? He says, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Isn't all sexual sin ultimately a failure of self-control? It is a desire gone askew. Satan knows that the root of our struggle in sexual sin is in the area of control. Who's in charge of your life? Who determines your sexuality? Who blesses what you should do and shouldn't? And on and on. Satan knows that temptation usually leads to sin if we're not careful. Satan doesn't force us to sin, but he throws temptation our way. So do not be fooled. He is out to get us, like First Peter describes him as a lion going around seeking whom he may devour. And Satan knows that sex is a big deal to humans. Is it any wonder that he attacks us in this area of sexuality? It's a huge deal to us. And by God's grace, it's also a huge deal to God. And he's given us a means to live victoriously, which is why every episode we end with this statement. It is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope you believe that. I hope you know him that way. And I hope you're increasingly becoming more like Christ in the battle for holiness. I love you guys, and I'll catch you again tomorrow.